Let's turn again in our Bibles, this time to James chapter 1. We'll also be looking in the back of our songbooks at Heidelberg Catechism, question answer 52. Just one question and answer there at the end of the catechism. But first, let's read our text found in James chapter 1, James 1, starting at verse 12. James 1 at verse 12, that's found on page 1199. James 1 at verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. And here's our text. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. As far as reading in James 1, then if you'd like to turn with me in the back of your songbooks, we're just looking at question answer 127 today, which is the sixth petition, the last petition made in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So that's found on page 896 in the back of our Trinity songbooks. Let's respond with the answer together. Question answer 127, what does the sixth petition mean? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means. We are so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment, and our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. And that's as far as we're reading together in the catechism. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we begin the month of February, you will find that most people have already given up on their New Year's resolution. Most people have gone back to their old ways, their old patterns, their old way of eating. But why is that? Well, the fact is, old patterns and bad habits are hard to break. But is change really possible? Is it possible to see real growth, real development, not only in keeping our New Year's Eve resolution, but in the avoidance of sin? Is it possible for us as followers of Christ to really grow in sanctification throughout this next year? Sometimes we forget that we are in a battle. Sometimes we forget that we are part of the church militant. But as we come to the last petition made in the Lord's Prayer, we are asking God to keep us safe in the battle, to keep us from harm, to keep us from danger, and to bring us through the battle to the victory, to deliver us safe through the church militant until we arrive at the church victorious. But when we fail to remember that we are in a battle, we can easily fall back into the old way of thinking and the old way of acting. This materialistic mentality that everything that we see is all that there is. But as Luther rightly put it, this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us. Do we remember, do we keep this ever before us, that we are in a battle and we face an ancient foe that seeks to work us woe? Well, this petition in the Lord's Prayer is going to remind us of this calling to be ever vigilant as we pray to be delivered from all evil. So let's evening we consider this theme, Jesus Christ teaches us to pray for spiritual protection as we face the various foes of this world. Jesus is teaching us to pray, to ask Him to protect us by His Spirit. In our first point, then, we consider the source of temptation. If we are praying that God would deliver us from temptation, where does temptation come from? Well, temptation is something that allures us, something that entices us, something that encourages us to commit sin. A tempter is one who sets before us something to encourage us to rebel against God. So where do these temptations come from? Well, when we read from James chapter 1, one of the first things that James makes clear is that temptation does not come from God. That's James 1 verse 13. God cannot be tempted, and He Himself tempts no one. Now, when we recognize that God is sovereign, God is in control of everything that happens, but it is here that James says, God may send you a trial, He may send you a hardship, He may send you a tribulation, but when God sends things to you, His purpose, His desire, His design is not to get you to fall into sin. God does not send things with a desire to get you to rebel against Him. He is a holy God. He is a pure God. The trials and tribulations that the Lord sends us are often used to strengthen our faith. God's goal is never to get us to fall into sin. It would be contrary to His nature for Him to desire His holy people to commit unholy actions. Rather, James continues in verse 14, temptations come from a different source. A person is tempted when they are enticed by their own desires. It is our fallen flesh, our depraved nature, that is the source of our temptation. We want, we crave, we desire things that are sinful. That old man within us is waging war against us. We are lured and we are enticed. Now the imagery, James is using very vivid imagery here, and I know that we have our cadets sitting up here. And some of you cadets, have you guys gotten the fishing badge yet? If you've got that fishing badge, then this will make perfect sense. Sin is a lure. What is a lure? A lure is a hook that has a bait affixed to it, dropped in the water. And the desire of the lure is to make it look so appealing that the fish does not see the hook but is attracted to the bait. So sin is like a lure, is a temptation dropped into the water of our lives. It is our sinful nature, our fallen desires that crave the bait and cause us to ignore the hook. These two things then come together. A sinful thing is gone after by fallen flesh. As the fishermen here might know, you cannot make fish bite. The fish has to take the lure, has to take the bait. So it is with temptation. Temptation is taking the bait, the lure that leads us into sin. And when we take the bait, that hook is set, and we are dragged away and pulled to our destruction, leading ultimately to death. That's what verse 15 says. So the lure is met by a desire in the flesh. Sin gives birth to death. Verse 15 concludes. Another way of looking at temptation is as if it is warfare. Question and answer 127 puts it like this. Our sworn enemies never stop attacking us. Our sworn enemies. A threefold enemy is this: the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. So it is, our own flesh can be our greatest enemy. The old man and the sinful cravings of the flesh, desiring things contrary to the new man and the sanctified desires of a Christian. There are two battles, there are two armies battling within us. Each wants to be your master. James 4, verse 1. Your passions are at war within you. Your desires want to run amok and be unrestrained. The fact is, when the fish bites the bait, the fish thought it was getting a free meal, but then becomes the meal themselves, pulled to destruction. So it is that temptation promises liberty, promises freedom, promises blessing, but that temptation becomes our master and enslaves us. So the first source of temptation and the first sworn enemy that we face is that of our own fallen flesh. The second enemy that we face is that of the devil. In some ways, we could say that the devil is the wicked fisherman who baits the hook. The devil lures, tempts, dangling something forbidden before our eyes. The devil desires to get us to fall into sin because it is the devil's desire to rob God of his glory. The devil hates everything that is good and holy. And his purpose here on earth is to fight against everything that is righteous. So the devil goes out to battle against God's people. You'll remember that in the book of Revelation, the devil first tries to consume the child, tries to consume Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ was resurrected and ascended into glory, he is now beyond the reach of the devil. So the devil goes out to wage war against Christ's people. That's you and me. That's the church. Because the devil cannot do anything to Jesus now, he now goes after us, after Christ's people. But the devil is limited. Going back to that same illustration, fishermen cannot make fish bite. So the devil cannot make us sin. The devil is finite. He is limited. He is not omnipresent. He's not present everywhere. We should never say when we fall into sin, the devil made me do it, because the devil cannot make you sin. It was the devil that tempted Eve in the garden, to be sure. And it was the same devil that tempted Jesus Christ in the wilderness, tempting both Eve and Jesus Christ to forsake the Lord, their God, to forsake his word. Temptation promising something and enticing them away from obedience. So to be clear, it is possible to face temptation and not sin, Jesus Christ being the principal example. Jesus Christ proves being tempted for 40 days in the wilderness by the devil himself. And yet he said, "Away from me, devil. You are to worship the Lord, and him only shall you serve." So the second enemy that we need to be aware of is that of the devil. The third enemy that we face is the world. Now, here in the Catechism says the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. The world here in this particular context does not mean the creation at large, rocks, trees, birds, things like this. It is the fallen world in its state of rebellion. The world here is shorthand term for fallen man, false teaching, the struggles that accompany with living in a fallen state. The world can take various forms. Almost anything can be a source of temptation in this world. Not only evil things, such as gambling and drugs, things like this, but even good things can be twisted into a source of temptation. Things that were created good, such as food and wine, earthly possessions, money, all of these can become the root of all kinds of evil when they are wrongly loved and become idols. Even our own experiences can be sources of temptation. In times of plenty, we can be tempted to boast, tempted to pride. In times of want, we could be tempted to despair or questioning God's good providence. Greed and lust, anger, jealousy, all of these are things that can be sources of temptation because of events or things that happen to us in our lives. James 4, verse 4 puts it like this. friendship with the world is hostility towards God. So there is a worldly teaching that is diametrically opposed. It is against everything that Christ and the truth stands for. Materialism, consumerism, feminism, paganism. All of these things are teachings that the world would have us believe, but when you believe them, you no longer believe what is true. And these threefold enemies, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, never stop attacking us. The sources of temptation are all around us and are constantly present. We are weak. This prayer reminds us we are weak and our enemies are strong. If we were standing on our own, if we were depending on our own ability, as Luther says in this hymn, our striving would be losing. What hope do we have? No man in and of himself could stand against the devil, the world, and his own sinful flesh. Our enemies are not only out there, they're in here, in our own hearts. So we pray, deliver us from evil. We start by acknowledging the seriousness of sin. We acknowledge our own weakness and inability to fight that in and of ourselves. So we pray to Jesus Christ that Christ, by his Spirit, would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we ask God to not lead us into temptation, we are saying, God, you are sovereign. Please lead my life, govern my life so that I am not put in positions or opportunities where I would be tempted. Ordain my life and the events of my life so that I am not tempted. We have no idea how many sins we have avoided because God has governed our steps so that we are not in the place of temptation. God graciously, on a daily basis, guides our steps so that we are avoiding temptation by his good providence. Ordain my life, ordain my events so that I am not tempted. But when I am tempted, deliver me from evil. Here I want to read one more short passage. If you want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10. And we'll just read verses 12 through 13. 1 Corinthians 10, that's found on pages 1138. 1 Corinthians 10 at verse 12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Here we find Paul making it abundantly clear that God is sovereign, even over our temptation. And when we are tempted, God will also provide a way of escape. From this, it is abundantly clear that when you are tempted, it is not inevitable that you fall into sin. We need not succumb to temptation. When the temptation comes, God will provide a window, a door, a way of escape so that you can flee like a bird from the snare. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. It might simply be that God gives you the physical ability to run, as Joseph did when he was tempted. He will provide, supply the necessary grace and strength so that you can endure. So when you pray this prayer, you are asking God to, first of all, keep you from temptation, but when you are tempted, you are asking God to make that temptation clear as well as the way of escape. That he would make the way of escape clear. Lord, this is our prayer. Lord, help me to see temptation when it comes. Help me to see it as it is. Take off the mask. Help me to see the hook embedded in the bait. And help me to flee, to seek the way out that you have provided. When temptation comes, you are standing at a crossroad. And when you are praying this prayer, you are saying, Lord, make it clear to me which way that I am to go. Make it plain that which path, either the right or the left, will lead me away from sin. The problem is, brothers and sisters, is that we don't take sin and temptation very seriously. We overestimate our ability, and we underestimate the danger of temptation. Paul says the same thing here in 1 Corinthians 10. If anyone thinks they stand, beware lest they fall. Do we know how weak we really are? We tend to overestimate our ability. We dabble with temptation and we ignore the way out that God has provided. If you think you are strong enough to walk to the very edge, to come to the very ledge, and to peer over the side of the edge into the void of sin, to get as absolutely close as possible without actually falling into sin, beware, Paul says, lest you fall. How many times, speaking personally here, how many times haven't we known that this action is sin, but we get as close to it as we can? Or we put ourselves in situations where we know temptation is found. But Scripture says, that's back in James 4, resist the devil. Run away from the lure. If you know that the devil is dangling this thing in front of you, and you know that there is a hook embedded in that bait, don't be like a dumb fish that tries to get as close as possible or tries to nibble the bait off the hook. Flee. Go the other way. Don't play games with the devil, or you will give the devil a foothold in your life. Resist the devil, James says, and he will flee from you. And in the very next verse, flee to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Run away from the devil and his temptation and flee to the Lord. Reject the cunning voice of the devil and hide God's word in your heart. You see, far too often, people play with sin like a child would play with a poisonous snake, and are then surprised when that snake bites them. Your sin will find you out. Whatever sin or whatever temptations you are facing on a daily basis, God knows these things and he sees all. It is radical obedience here that we are praying for. Radical obedience that we are to be committed to. So what are some of the sources of temptation that you face? Paul says that there's nothing, no temptation, again this is back in 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation overcomes you that's not common to man. We face similar temptations, but we all have various weaknesses and strengths. What things tempt you? Well, Proverbs 7 gives us an illustration of a young man who was not very wise. This young man was tempted to commit adultery. And being foolish, he continued to walk by the house where the harlot lived, only to find himself drawn in and caught by her charms. Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't linger near the source of temptation. And don't allow yourself to indulge in sin. One of the main things that people make New Year's resolution to is usually to get in shape or to lose some weight. But when it comes to a diet, many people have what is called a cheat day. Right? The cheat day, you can go and have ice cream or chocolate or whatever. It's too much in the human psyche. It's too much to expect a complete cutoff of this particular source of food. It's too much to expect a complete change all at once. So we make an accommodation for our weakness. But when it comes to temptation, Scripture is clear. We are to make no accommodations for the flesh. Literally, Romans 13, verse 14 puts it like this: make no provision for the flesh to satisfy, to gratify its desires. In other words, brothers and sisters, in the life of sanctification, there are no cheat days. Make no provision. Don't even open the door a crack. Put to death the sins that remain and come alive in the image of Christ. Replace that sinful desire with a desire for holiness and obedience. So when we are praying, deliver us from evil, we are to draw near to the Lord, to resist the devil, and to flee like a bird to the Lord for protection. In fact, prayer is one of the chief ways that God gives us, that enables us to resist the devil and to resist temptation. When you are tempted, just being very practical, when you are tempted and you stop and pray, more often than not, that temptation flees, that temptation departs, because you've called on the Lord. Or when you are tempted, recite Scripture. That's what Jesus did. His solution to temptation was to answer the devil's temptation with Scripture. Pray that Christ, by His Spirit, would give you the strength that you need so that you go not down to defeat, but rather resist your enemies until you win the complete victory, which is in Jesus Christ. For Christ Himself has been tempted as we are. And Hebrews 2 says that in Him we are victorious. Did not Jesus say, "Fear not, I have overcome the world"? So even though the world is our enemy, Christ has overcome the world. And what about the devil? Did not Jesus crush the serpent's head? Indeed, those who live by faith will have the victory because Christ has overcome. To conclude, sin is addictive and enslaving. Once you have fallen into a particular temptation, a particular sin, your sinful nature and fallen desires make it all the more prone to fall into that sin again. As our hymn states, if we in our own strength confided, our striving would be losing. Praise God, the right man is on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You cannot always stop temptation from coming upon you. Jesus Himself was tempted. Luther illustrated it like this. You cannot stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. A temptation that comes is like a bird that flies over your head. You can't stop that from happening, but you can stop that temptation from finding a home in your heart. Allowing the thoughts of the flesh and desires of sin to remain undetermined, undeterred, and uncontested in your mind will lead to sin and give the devil a foothold in your life. Rather, resist the devil and flee to Jesus Christ. Pray to Him to deliver you from evil As our theme states, Jesus Christ teaches us to pray for spiritual protection as we face the various foes in this world. So we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this humbling truth that we are so weak and our enemies are so strong, and yet your Spirit is in us. He who is in us is greater than he that is in this world. We thank you that your Spirit enables us to resist the devil, to resist temptation, giving us the eyes to see the path of righteousness in which we should go. We pray, O Lord, that as your people, we would see sin when it comes and hate it, flee from it, that you would continue to sanctify us in truth. For your word is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.